Herzlich willkommen zu Women Hit Harder, dem Female Power Podcast mit Julia Dorni. Im Gespräch mit starken Persönlichkeiten aus Sport, Wirtschaft und dem Leben.
Women Hit Harder, the Female Power Podcast, and today we do another episode in English with the beautiful Dania Sarah Eleanor Barcelona. She's a journalist for DW and also a professional soccer player. Hi.
Hey.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, you're a Canadian soccer player. You were born in Toronto in Canada, and now you're playing for Victoria Berlin. Yeah. Can you please explain what brings you here and to Germany in general?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I'll give you the Cole's Notes version. I grew up in Canada. My parents are Italian. And I played soccer in the U.S. And then after I played there, I got the opportunity to go to Europe to play professionally. And I was like, yes. And Germany was always somewhere because when I was younger, Germany, even now, the women were so good. And there was always a professional league. So it was something that everybody kind of looked up to, besides the U.S., obviously, because that's always been pretty good. So I always wanted to come to Germany. I made a couple stops before, you know, like in Italy and Spain and Norway. And then finally, I think it's like 5 years now. 5 years ago, I came to Berlin and I'm still here.
So apparently there must be something good about Berlin.
Yeah, yeah. I like Berlin.
What keeps you here?
I think it kind of reminds me of Toronto. Like, I'm from Toronto. So, it's very multicultural. It's a very accepting city. You see a lot of different people, different styles, different everything. So it makes me feel a little bit like, you know, I'm kind of back home, but I'm not.
Yeah, I can agree because I've traveled to Toronto quite a few times, and I have to agree that there's quite a few
similarities.
Thank you so much.
We understand each other. Your English is way better than my German, though. So.
Wie gut ist denn dein Deutsch?
It's okay. Ich verstehe gut, aber wenn ich reden muss, dann ist es ein bisschen schwer.
Das hört sich sehr gut an.
Dankeschön.
Okay, let's talk about your professional career. You consider yourself, as you told me earlier, as a football player who does journalism.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I was always, until this point, let's say, now, I guess my main profession would be journalism, but until this point, it's always been football. So everywhere I went, like, football was my job. It was my only focus. But now, I mean, okay, fortunately, I got this opportunity to be a journalist, and I love it, and I get to talk about football. Unfortunately, you know, the way my team, for example, trains and plays and the effort that's put in from the coaching staff to the players, it is professional. But because we are women, we don't get that same treatment that we deserve. So...
Schade. Definitely, because when I see all your stations, you know, you previously played for IL Sandviken in Norway's Toppserien. Then you played in SD Lagunac in Spain's Primera Division, for Lübars, for Union Berlin, for Second Bundesliga, and such and such and such. And even in Italy, Serie A, which everybody knows, it's quite famous. And yeah, you deserve a lot more. Missing the word. Aufmerksamkeit. Attention! Attention! Oh my god, sometimes it's just so easy and so hard at the same time.
I thought about it, but then I had the doubt and I was like, I better not say it.
So why is that happening like that? Can you please explain that?
I mean, I think football, especially because it's such an old sport and it's an old, traditionally male sport, it's kind of difficult for a lot of people, not just men, to accept that, you know, women can play and we love it just as much as they do and we can be very good at it as well. So, like, for example, in Italy, you know, we were a Champions League team, like, second, we finished second in the league and we went to Champions League that year. And like, people in the city, it was in the city of Udine, which is in northern Italy, they had no idea that there was a team that even played in Serie A. So, like, to me, it's just, I mean, now, this was a while ago when I played in Italy, but now the attitudes are starting to change, especially with, you know, how well Italy, the women did, and they've been doing more work. I'm not going to say enough work, but I'm going to say they've been doing more work to, like, you know, all of the professional men's teams now, they have to have a women's program. So that helps when big clubs like Juventus, for example, you know, they invest in a women's team and people are starting to see it and they're starting to get more used to it. And then gradually the things change. So
would you think that we are on a good path towards this direction?
A lot of places are, like England. Italy is okay. There's still a lot of work to be done. Spain is in a good direction. I mean, Norway, the Nordic countries have always been. I mean, I think, honestly, Germany, though, I'm a little bit disappointed in, because they, like, paved the way for women's football in a lot of ways, but then they kind of, like, pumped the brakes a bit, and they were like, okay, you know what, we're okay. And now you see, you know, clubs like Dortmund saying, like, we don't want a women's team. It's just, like, not in our plans. And other teams not giving any attention, any resources, anything to the women. And then you have Manchester City in England, where, like, their main Instagram page, they share posts from the women, from the men. Like, no problem.
Equal.
Yeah. And they have, I mean, the stadium for Man City women is better than some Bundesliga stadiums here for men. Like, it's ridiculous, so.
Yeah, you told me also earlier that sometimes on Fridays, mm-hmm. you are supposed to train, but you can't because the men's team. Well, how did it work? What was it?
Yeah, so we have like a centrum where we train. So there's a few fields and stuff, but obviously the stadium we share with the men, and that's a grass pitch, and then there's two grass pitches behind. And like, if the men have a game or if they have to train, they don't let us train on the grass. Because they don't want us to ruin the field.
Ruin the field. I mean, these are professional athletes. So
yeah. Ruin the field. Yeah, that's actually the words. And we had to play like RB Leipzig, which, you know, is putting money into their women's program. They had bought Anya Mittag, which is like the top of the top of women's football. She won everything there is to win. And it's so embarrassing because they're supposed to come to us to play in our stadium, which is a nice stadium, and they made us play on the turf field, which is terrible. But they would never do that to the men. They would never, ever let a men's game, like, you know, first place in the league versus second place in the league, they would never make them play on turf, ever. So it's just not. And if you look at, you know, the men's Instagram for us, you wouldn't even know that there's a women's team. So, I mean,
it's crazy, especially regarding the fact that you were a member of the Canadian national team and now you have to, like, take care that you don't ruin the grass. Isn't that crazy?
It's for me, it's so frustrating. And sometimes, like, you just want to laugh because it's like the men play in the division underneath us. In theory, you know, we're the better team and we don't, you know, it's just like, whatever, they get. They are full professionals. They train two times a day. They don't have other jobs. All of the players on the team are, you know, full professionals. But they were surprised when we got to use the physio room. They were like, oh, the women can use the room too? It's a room with a bed in it, like, for a massage table. Like, why are you shocked?
So. Oh, my God. I have, like, I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God. Oh my God.
I should bring you so that when they have the meeting, like they have club meeting, that you could do, you know, with your perfect German, you could be like, excuse me, why is this happening?
We should honestly do something about it because I'm sick of all this, hearing this. I mean, we're good on a good way, but still, it's so many things that are so frustrating. It's crazy. Let's talk about something positive.
Okay.
Let's talk about your professional career as a journalist. Because you have never, different. You have never had the idea that you will become a journalist one day, right? It's like happened by purpose, by accident.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I always thought like, wow, it'd be cool to be on TV. Like, I love talking about football, whatever. But I never thought that it would happen. You know, I studied like sports science, I wanted to be like a sports doctor or a chiropractor or something like that. And then, you know, I got a random Facebook message. It was like, hey, you know, we're looking for a girl who is a native English speaker who can talk about football. And I'm like, that's me. Oh my God. And then I did like a test run and had to talk a little bit about, you know, the World Cup. And then it just kind of took off from there. And yeah, I mean, I'm really happy about it because, I mean, I talk about football anyway. Like, you know what I mean? What's the difference doing it on camera or not? So.
So now it's been 2.5 years that you are a journalist?
Yeah, yeah. Some would not consider me a journalist, but whatever.
They would consider you a reporter or expert or presenter?
I don't know.
Whatever. So isn't it funny? Because we know each other from our work, obviously, from DW. We are both working for the sport department.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Girl power in the sport department.
No, it's something really nice. And I mean, yeah. I just, when I heard your name at first sight, as I told you earlier, I was like, oh my God, Dani Barcelona, what a nice name. It's like, there must be something special. And now she's, you know, the football goddess.
That's funny because when they told me about you, I was like, she's an MMA champion? She's literally my hero. I'm like, I need to talk to this girl. This is so cool. So.
See, thanks for DW for bringing us, getting us together.
Literally.
It's amazing. Yeah. What would you consider a man thing or a women's thing? Or maybe you say, no, there's no men's and women's thing?
In general, like...
What comes to your mind?
I like to think that there's nothing... This is just my personal opinion. That nothing should really be considered, you know, a man thing or a woman's thing. But... society has different ideas about that, you know what I mean? Like, I just saw a meme the other day, kind of a meme, I guess, and it was like, cooking and cleaning should not be considered like female traits, it should be considered like a life skill that everybody knows how to do, for example. But there's still a lot of that, you know, like when I talk about football in videos and stuff and they go online, you can bet that there's always going to be the comment, and I know you know which one it is, it's like, oh, this person should be in the kitchen, or who let her out of the kitchen? Always. It's like math, every time. So, I mean.
I just thought maybe one comment could be, oh my God, she's just so beautiful. I cannot talk about football or not think about football anymore.
There's always like those comments that are like, you know, they have to do with the looks. And I find it weird because like, if you're a girl talking about football, it's probably the same, you know, if you're a girl talking about MMA, it always, like, becomes, your looks come into the equation. But, like, for men, I mean, you see, like, journalists that are men on TV that are, you know, like, you wouldn't say that they're attractive, but do you ever see a girl on TV that's not attractive? Not really.
Not really.
You know? So...
they're all more... it's not just attractive, it's more like sexy. Most of them are really like...
yeah. Well, you wouldn't look at any like woman on TV and be like, you know?
It's true.
But you would see a lot of guys on TV that like they go on TV and, you know, there's no comment about maybe their hair is messy or they're, you know, overweight or, you know, stereotypically not attractive. But, you know, they don't get those comments. But a girl, you have to fix your hair. You have to do your makeup. You have to look like this. This can't be too baggy because then you look big. But why? So,
hello.
Does it matter? Like, doesn't it matter what I'm saying?
It should. But mostly it doesn't. Yeah. Oh, my God. What do you think, like, or in your opinion, what is a hero? What makes a hero a hero?
A hero. Somebody that sets an example for what, you know, for me personally, like somebody who I look up to and I want to strive to be like them, you know, their actions, the way they carry themselves, you know, in an athletic sense, how they train, how they push themselves, that would be like a hero for me.
It's a good one. I like it. So how has your life changed with Corona and not training and no games and because my life has changed a lot,
literally,
from like I don't know doing 1,000% to I don't know.
You had like big fights that you had to miss, right?
I was supposed to fight in April and in June and obviously in November, and maybe November is going to happen, but on a different stage now. And the other fights, I mean, when the lockdown started, I was still in preparation for my fight. And, you know, I was like, no, it doesn't happen to us. We can train nothing. And I don't know, so naive.
But isn't it, it's probably really hard to, like, you're training a lot to get ready for a fight, and then you, like, can't even go to the gym, you can't train.
No, it was, like, the worst nightmare you can imagine. And then regarding the fact that we are working for the sport department at DW, there was no sport.
Yeah, no sports, no training, no nothing. We're just like,
I mean, at first I was like, yeah, okay, maybe it's for higher purpose or whatever. Yeah. Just do meditation or whatever.
Try to stay positive in any way.
There's some really nice pictures from like Reese Witherspoon. Did you see it?
No.
How her year started, she was like, eh.
Yeah.
And then in February, still like this. And then March, And then from like June on,
she's like,
just like grumpy face.
Somebody help me.
Yeah, somebody help me. But what can we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really. Thankfully for us in Germany, it wasn't as bad as a lockdown is, for example, like Italy. Like, we could still go out of the house and go for a run, exercise outdoors, you know, like there. I mean, you couldn't do anything. Unless you're like a super, like, okay, maybe Ronaldo didn't have any problems, or like professional Serie A players, because they have massive houses and probably gym equipment in their house. But like other players that don't have that, or people who didn't have that much space, like, it would have been, I mean...
Oh, yeah, right. Let's talk about Italy, because you were there shortly, right? Because you have your family there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the media framing here about Italy was really bad.
Yeah.
But is it just how it occurred in the media, or was it...
Honestly, a big part of it, I think, and from what I've heard, I wasn't there during the crisis, but I mean, I was in, like, from Rome and all down to the south. And actually I met a doctor in Sicily who worked in Venice in a hospital, and he said it was weird the way they counted cases there, because it was like, if you get into a car accident, or if you got into a car accident in Italy and you went into the hospital and you were probably going to die because of the injuries you sustained in the accident, they had to test you for COVID. And if you died because of those injuries, but they still marked you as COVID positive. If you were COVID positive, you died from COVID. So it's kind of like the numbers were a little bit skewed, I guess. And like in Sicily where I was, that's where my dad's from, everybody was kind of like, we had hardly any cases here and we all got put in lockdown and our economy stopped. And, you know, they deal a lot with tourism and they had months of nothing. Like nobody's even, I mean, now there's only really Italians there. Maybe I probably heard German a couple times, and they live on tourism. So it was really difficult for them. And I think, yeah, obviously, like, I mean, media, everything gets a little bit blown out of proportion, you know, so I don't...
Blown up out of proportion.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I'm not a doctor, though, so I don't know about any of that stuff. So.
No, but at least you care about the stuff they say.
Yeah.
And obviously, we should really take care for ourselves and for each other and wear the stupid mask, although it's annoying.
Yeah.
But, I mean... We want to stop or to end this. I mean, it's nothing that you would like to keep forever.
No, literally. I mean, it's not like wearing a mask doesn't change your life. You're not going to die from wearing a mask. But like, I think about it, like if I could stop getting someone else sick that might die, like, you know, my grandmother or something, like if I could put a mask on and she doesn't get sick, okay, I'll wear a mask, you know, whatever. Yeah. But whatever else people think, like, okay, yeah, it's taking away my freedom, like, relax,
yeah. What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Wow. Sport?
Oh, yeah.
Sport makes me happy. you know, my family makes me happy, my friends, people that... I care about, that I'm close to, being able to do what I love and, you know, have it as a job, being healthy, especially now in these times, you really, like, your health is very fragile and you're just like, well, okay, I'm lucky to be, you know, healthy and able to move and do things and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's true. A lot of people, I have the feeling they don't really care about. They'd be like, let's do tomorrow. I can do it, I don't know, in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't see how fragile life can be.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Even me, sometimes I don't really... I don't know about you, but I don't sometimes you don't realize. You just think, okay, you get caught up in like, I have to do this tomorrow and I have to do this next week and what am I going to do here? And you forget to like stop and like enjoy today. You know, I don't know about you. That sometimes I'm like, well, relax.
Yeah, obviously I have to stop myself sometimes from like being there and there and there with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know about it. And I'm actually the same opinion like you. Have you planned family?
Have I planned a family? One day when I grow up.
I always say it's not included in my 7-year plan.
Yeah, like it's hard. I don't know. Probably it's probably the same for you. I mean, like you have your athletic goals and your career goals and like.
Just like you.
Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of like something where you're like, damn, like you have to think about it because as a woman, you have like, there's like a time period and that's it, you know, like after that, it's not like you can, you know, unlike men where they could just like 80 years old, that's okay. I can have kids now, whatever. So yeah, I mean, I'd like to have a family one day. Just, I have like things right now that I'm like, okay, I'd like to do these things first and then.
I mean, you were supposed to get married this year.
I was.
But now it's postponed to next year. Oh, my God. How did it feel for you to get this information that it's postponed?
Well, we actually made the decision, I want to say around March, April. Because, like, when things went into lockdown, we were supposed to get married in Italy. And I have, you know, a lot of family coming from Canada and family and friends from the U.S., friends from Spain and Norway and Italy, you know, like, it was just, it couldn't happen. Like, I mean, the people from America couldn't even come. My parents might not have been able to, you know, so we had to, you know, let everybody know with enough time to change flights and stuff like that. So, I mean, it sucks, but then, like, would I have wanted to get married, like, with a mask and without people? And not, it's just not, like, a happy time right now. So... Yeah.
Absolutely. Women Hit Harder wird unterstützt von Mallantis, einem Familienunternehmen aus Stuttgart, das regionale CBD und Hanfprodukte selbst herstellt. Und ganz wichtig dabei, ohne Tierversuche. Das heißt, Mallantis sind tierversuchsfreie Kosmetik auf CBD-Basis, nur mit natürlichen Inhaltsstoffen, also ohne Silikone, ohne Parabene, ohne Mineralöle, ohne künstliche Konservierungsstoffe oder Mikroplastiken. Mit dem Codewort Women Hit Harder bekommt ihr auf www.mallantis.de sogar 15% Rabatt. Viel Spaß beim Stöbern und bleibt gesund. Now let's start or move over to the rubric 15 fast questions.
15 fast questions? Oh God, okay.
You just answer right away.
Should I stretch first?
Yeah, please.
Do a little warm up.
Okay, we start.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
House or flat?
House.
Bicycle or car?
Car.
Train or plane?
Plane.
White or black?
Black.
Always black.
Always, literally, from head to toe black.
Is it half empty or half full?
Half full.
Bar or at home?
Bar.
Yeah. Perms or sneakers?
Oh, I have so many of both. Can I say both?
Yeah.
I love both. I love shoes.
Me too. Just like my entire hallway is full of sneakers, boxing shoes, high heels, whatever.
Me too.
Job or family?
Oh, right now? Job, but keeping perspective of family. You know what I mean? Don't like let one go for the other.
Yeah. Water still or sparkling?
Sparkling.
Do you prefer water ice cream or milk ice cream?
Ice cream with, like, I'm not supposed to eat milk, but I like the Italian ice cream, gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah, yeah.
Jogging or cycling?
Jogging.
Wedding, yes or no? We had that, yes.
Hopefully.
So, big party or small party?
Big party.
And now, are you having meat or are you vegan or vegetarian?
now I eat meat, but I did go vegan for a while. Felt pretty good, but I eat a balanced diet. I don't eat too much meat, but I don't like completely go without it. So,
okay,
I've tried them all.
That was the 15 questions.
Okay. 15
questions.
Wasn't so bad.
Who inspired you in starting with, like, you know, the science that you decided to be a possible coach or, yeah, who inspired you?
I think it was more like a lack of that inspired me, because, like, you know, when I was a little bit younger and I was playing, for us there wasn't the resources, you know, like you didn't have a doctor, a chiropractor, a physiotherapist, a this, a that, and the other. And I was like, you know what, I want to be able to do this, so I know what, you know, what to do. And then when I went to university, actually, our head strength and conditioning coach was a woman, and she was like, she is still there, and she's jacked, and she's like blonde and really pretty, and she was just like the definition of, like, you can be a girl and you can be strong and you can be, you know, she was like, she coached men's football, men's basketball, men's soccer, women's this, and, you know, it was just really cool to see, like, her doing that, because she was one of the first in the U.S. actually that did that. So I guess her was, she was like a, I looked up to her when I was in university and stuff.
How old is she now?
She's gotta be in her 50s now,
but maybe? Still in real bad shape.
Oh yeah, she's like a beast, and she still is strength and conditioning at my university in Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, you studied there, right? University, yeah, of Alabama at Birmingham. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 10.
Yeah, I did, and I played there 4 years, so it was a good experience. Culture shock, but good.
Why a culture shock?
Because you think, like, coming from Canada, I always went to New York, and, you know, because Toronto, I live like 45 minutes from the border to the U.S., you know, so near Niagara Falls, and, like, you always assume, I always thought, you know, like, Canada and the U.S., like, how different are we? Even here, people are always like, oh, you're American. I'm like, I'm Canadian. They're like, yeah, it's the same. I'm like, it's not the same.
Not the same.
It's not the same. People would ask me, for example, this question, like, or I would ask, in Canada, we always say, like, where are you from? Because your parents are probably from somewhere else. So you probably have some kind of different heritage than just Canadian. And, like, if you ask people that in the U.S., in Alabama, for example, they would be like, what? What do you mean? Where am I from? Like, I'm from Tennessee, or I'm from Georgia. I'm like, no, I mean, like, you know, where does your family come from? And they're like, U.S. And in Canada, you know, my friends are like, you know, one of my best friends comes from Trinidad and Tobago. Her dad and her mom's from Barbados. And I have a lot of Croatian friends, or, you know, like, everybody has something else.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, there it was very, you know, I mean, just different in a lot of ways. I got asked, like, if I lived in igloo a lot. And I'm like, no, we don't live in igloos in Canada, but...
Have you been to Alaska?
No.
Is it something you would go for?
Yeah, I think it would be really cool. I haven't even been, like, super north in Canada. Because, I mean, a lot of the population of Canada lives near the U.S. border. And right. You can drive, like, in Ontario, where I'm from, you can drive, like, 24 hours straight up. And it's like, no, I've never been there. I'd like to go there.
The cold, though, but I would love to go with the Huskies on the sled.
Yeah, no, you were right. You got it.
What is your motto in life?
Oh, my motto.
Motto.
Do I have one?
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a quote that we had on a T-shirt. When I went to university, and it was the guy who, you know, Nike was made by, Prefontaine, and it was, to give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. So I think maybe that would be, like, the closest thing that I would have to a motto. Just, like, always give your best at all times, and, like, if you're not, then it's kind of like a shame, like, schade. You're wasting your ability, your talent, your potential, or whatever.
It's the same it's almost like the same the one I like. It's Clear Your Mind of Canned.
That's a good one. I like that. Is that like yours, or is that, did you hear that from someone else?
I think I heard it, but I kept it forever.
Yeah. It's yours now.
It's mine.
It became yours.
Oh my god. Okay. It's time to start the first challenge.
Oh my god.
And then we'll obviously continue with that.
Okay.
The challenge one is tongue twister.
Oh god. Is it in German or in English?
One is German and okay. Three are English.
Okay.
Do you feel ready?
I'm ready. Oh, mamma mia. Okay.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia. All right. Just read it out?
Yep.
Okay. If one doctor doctors another doctor, does the doctor who doctors the doctor doctor the doctor the way the doctor he is doctoring doctors? Or does he doctor the doctor the way the doctor who doctors doctors? That? How many times is the word doctor in this sentence?
Oh, you can count. I don't know.
Okay.
Quite a few, I would
take
say.
A long time. Oh, my God. Okay, next one. Imagine an imaginary menagerie manager managing an imaginary menagerie.
It's not easy, right?
Okay. Oh my god. Okay. Can I swear? Slick bricks with picks and sticks. That one was really hard. That was really, really hard. Damn.
Okay. Can I? Let's see.
That's the hardest one for me.
Six, sick, hicks, nick, six, slick, bricks with picks and sticks.
You're way better than I am. The first two were okay, but the third, that was like really hard.
Imagine an imaginary menagerie manager managing an imaginary menagerie.
The accent was good on that too. It was perfect.
Hey, it was a parlez-vous français? Un petit peu. Tabernacle.
That's from Canada.
Yeah, I know. It's
Québécois. If you go to France and say that, they're like, what?
You know, my French is like tabernacle and avec chocolat.
Avec chocolat. That's literally all you need to.
All you need. You know, Tim Hortons. Avec chocolat. Order anything avec chocolat and inverse.
Tim Hortons.
I love Tim Hortons. It's just so sweet.
Ah, Timbits.
Oh my god, yeah, it's so good.
Oh.
And the hot chocolate with like the topping, the
whipped cream.
Whipped cream made of marshmallows.
Oh my god.
I
don't like their coffee though.
No,
to be
it's
honest,
disgusting.
Because I don't like American coffee. Like, yeah, I like espresso. That's it.
Yeah.
But like Timbits or like
the balls.
Yeah, the little donut balls. It's like a guilty pleasure. Like a Canadian, you go back to Canada, you have to go to Tim Hortons.
You have to go.
It's like,
it's actually always the last time when I fly home from Canada, you know, getting the last bit of Tim Hortons for the plane.
In the bag.
Yeah,
to take away. That's yeah. For sure. And like when we land, whenever me and my brothers land in Canada, right away on the way home, drive through Tim Hortons, couple Timbits, and you're good.
Yeah, you're good. You don't need to eat anything else.
No. You're good.
It's just so many calories in one portion.
Literally. Sometimes I go through the drive-thru, I'm like, okay, can I have two Timbits, please? They're like, that's it? You don't want like the 10-pack? I'm like, no.
That's all right. I know myself.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
I'm like, just two is okay.
Okay, we have the last one. It's a German one. It's quite well-known and famous. And you go.
This is peinlich. Okay. Fischers, Fritz, fischt, frisch, fish, frisch, fish, fischt, Fischers, Fritz.
Can you do it? Yeah. Like... Fischers Fritz fischt frische Fische fischt Fischers Fritze.
You didn't even have to look.
It's so old. Yeah. I know this one since I don't know, little. And I'm always wrong with that.
Wait, there's one in English too, like, she sells seashells by the seashore or something like that.
Tori Box, my other guest the other, like 2 weeks ago, she had hit this with the shore and oh my god, it was so funny. Laughing.
Yeah, The R in German, like the, it's kind of difficult.
When I talk to my Canadians, it's like, oh yeah, you Germans, it's so harsh. It's German, so
but
harsh.
If you don't know German, then it seems harsh. Because for me, when I didn't speak a little bit of German, I was always like, man, it sounds so difficult and so like harsh. And then you speak it and you're like, it's not that harsh.
Have you seen this one video that occurs on YouTube where, you know, Krankenwagen
and like different languages,
ambulance, ambulanza, whatever, and then Krankenwagen
or butterfly or something.
Papillon.
Schmetterling. But the guy also sells it with his
I know.
Schmetterling.
And then he had Kugelschreiber. What's the toughest word for you in German?
Squirrel.
Squirrel? Eichhörnchen?
Yeah.
Say it.
My teammates, when I played for Union Berlin, they used to always say, like, Dania, say that. And I was like, trying nonstop. Hold on. Say it again.
Eichhörnchen. It was quite good, though.
It's so embarrassing. I had like a year of training with them, and it's still so bad.
But why the squirrel?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, but it's such like a weird word to say for, I think, honestly, I think maybe like, I think in, what is it, in Bavaria, where they kind of like roll their R?
Yeah.
So it would probably be like easier for me to like live down there and speak down there, because like in Italian, you know, Spanish, you roll the R.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
How many languages do you speak properly?
English, Italian, Spanish. Okay, I can communicate in German. It's just, you know, maybe when the cameras are on, I get a little embarrassed too. So it's not like, yeah, I learned French. I studied French growing up. I can understand it now. I don't ever speak it anymore. So it's like pretty rusty, but I did study it for a bunch of years. So
that's a lot of languages. Can you give us some bites?
Bites? In what? Well, we spoke a little bit of French already. A little bit of German, Italian.
Cazzo.
What do you want to say? Okay. Spanish, me llamo Dania. That's it. No, I'm joking. I get embarrassed when I have to do this.
Por favor, y café con leche.
That's, everyone says, like, when they speak Spanish, like, una cerveza, por favor. Everyone says that. And in Italian, when they ask me, like, oh, they're like, yeah, I can speak Italian. I'm like, okay. And they're like, pizza, cheese, pepperoni. And I'm like, good. Good.
Very good.
Very good.
Nice. Il conto.
Yeah, il conto.
Il conto.
But here, there's a lot of Italians in Berlin, too. So you can, and Spanish people, so you can get away with that.
Do you have a problem understanding people in Berlin speaking Berlinerisch?
It's funny because sometimes I don't know the difference, because I was cutting with one of my cutters is from Berlin. Like, I always say, oh my God, you're a real Berliner. Like, he's like, yeah, like before the wall fell down and stuff. So he would speak to me in German. He'd be like, you know, sometimes use words that were like Berliner, and I wouldn't
Schrippe.
Know the difference. Yeah. I'm like, okay. But if somebody was like really trying, then I would have trouble understanding it.
Zum Beispiel, ich bin Julia.
Yeah, the ick.
Ick.
They said, and I would be like, what? Why?
And then at the end of a sentence, when you ask a question, is magst du? Ist gut, ne?
Na?
Oder war?
War.
Richtig schön, war?
Yeah. The na, some people on my team say that. So I didn't know that was Berliner, actually, to be honest with you.
No.
I just assumed that it was, I just assumed it was like normal thing to say everywhere.
What motivates you?
What motivates me?
Oh, what doesn't?
I don't like to settle. So I guess maybe that motivates me. I always want to be better. Everything for me is kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's because I've been playing football for so long at a high level. It's kind of like a competition. Like, if I'm in the gym and, like, somebody's running on the treadmill beside me, like, I want to, like, beat them on the treadmill. You know what I mean? So I think, like, always trying to, like, better yourself and never just staying stagnant, that is what motivates me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, I learned how to do this, and now I want to improve on that and maybe try this. And so.
It's the same with me. I think I could not just do something to do it. I have the feeling I am in like a competition. It's like the treadmill, like be faster.
You have to win it.
You have to win it. Yeah, I don't know, but where did it come from? Why is it? Why?
I don't know. It's gotta be like the sport thing, because some people are like, you know, even like mundane competitions, like games or whatever, you make a bet with somebody, like I'm like extra competitive. I want to win all the time. Like my fiance. This is actually good. I was doing pull-ups in the gym and I was like, oh yeah, I'm feeling good, whatever. And he's like, come on, like friendly chirping, you know what I mean? Or friendly, like making fun of each other. Mm. And he's like, yeah, okay. He's like, if you do 8, I'll buy you a designer bag. And I'm like, 8? I'm like, first of all right. And second of all, do you want to increase the number? Do you want to make it like 10 so you don't lose a hefty amount of money? And he was like, all right. I'm like, you know, designer bags, like I'm not going to be easy on you. Like I'm going to get a designer bag from you. And he's like, okay. And I was like, look, I'm going to ask you for like one that's like not so ridiculously expensive, because I'm going to feel bad, you know, if you lose, right? And I was like, 1, 2, 3, 8 comes, and he's like starting to sweat, and he's like, damn it. 10 comes, and he's like starting to sweat, and I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna do a couple extra for good measure. And then I did like 12 and a half, and he was like, but like there was no, for me there was no world in which I wasn't gonna, even if I could only do 5 pull-ups in my, you know, no, there's no
you
world.
You would keep trying.
Yeah, I got the bag.
What was it?
It was a little Jacquemus purse, so I was nice. I could have asked for something like way better, but it served the purpose because I wanted it. It was like a little green, like.
And in your relationship, are you always having like competition?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, like friendly competition, not like to the point. Well, we could maybe if we like played against each other in football or something. Because my fiance used to play football, so like if we're juggling or something, and it's like, you know, I have to do 2, and I play 2, you have to do 2. I always want to win that too, so it's always a competition.
Who gets the top position? Oh my
or
god!
Like three kicks or something. It's always, but it makes it interesting. So,
I guess so.
Yeah.
What does women hit harder mean for you? Oh no! What does women hit harder mean for your boyfriend? For your fiancé?
Well, he's learned that, you know, maybe he grew up in Italy, so he wasn't used to seeing women playing football, or you know what I mean? It's kind of like a taboo, and it's for him, it's like he now kind of like defends women's football, or like, you know, me that I play football, because he feels it, because maybe people would make comments like, oh, your girlfriend plays football, like, okay, like, or women aren't good at football. And he's like, no, relax, like, you don't know, because you've never, a lot of people don't take the time to, you know, watch women's sports, but not just football, everything. I mean, women's basketball. I don't know about MMA, and that's probably a testament to itself. I know about men's MMA, and maybe like, you know, Ronda Rousey, or that's, you know, so that's probably a testament to it. Like, if people, we can, you know, hit harder, kick harder, run fast, do the same things, but maybe it's, we have to work harder for it to get the recognition that, you know, a guy in my position would get, or a guy in your position would get. We have to work a little bit harder than them.
That's
a
true.
Lot harder than them.
That's true. Yeah, I agree on that. What does a perfect day look like for you?
Depends when you ask me. Right now, a perfect day would look like waking up in the morning, training a bit, because it's always fun to train, then going to the beach, relaxing on the beach.
Train again.
train again. Play a little football, watch a game. I'm still in beach mode in my head, so I think like right now I'd like to go to the beach.
It's just perfect holiday for me is combined with training all the time.
Yeah. Me too.
Just like laying, and I don't know, it's just so boring.
Yeah.
I feel bad just laying there.
Yeah. You got to train, and like maybe those vacations too, that where you can like you know, in Sicily, there's a nature reserve and you have to like hike to get to the beach. So it's like you're doing like exercise and then you have like the reward.
This is really nice. Right? I enjoyed it a lot too.
It's cool.
But in if you're not in the beach mood, what would be your perfect day? So hard.
Shopping? No. Maybe seeing a new city, going somewhere that I've never been and like seeing a new city, trying, you know, food from that place and like experiencing new culture and stuff like that. Like I'm always open to trying something new, doing a little shopping. So yeah, maybe like going to another city where I've never been, in a country I've never been, and like learning about a new place. That'd be a cool day.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Have you been to Brazil?
No.
You have to go to Brazil.
I have friends in Brazil. They always tell me that.
I'm so addicted to acai.
Oh, I had it the other day, actually, an acai bowl. Not for the first time, but...
But it's nothing compared to there.
No?
What you can get here is nothing compared to you get there. Where? Like the fruit and everything just tastes so good and real and... Oh. Yeah, go to Brazil if possible.
But where? Where's the best place in Brazil, you think?
I went to Rio.
Rio?
Rio. And we had a really nice area there, Recreio.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
And the training, obviously, is so good there. Brazilians really? Are really, really, really good at MMA.
And for, like, with the women, too? Like, is it, like, kind of, like, equal, would you say, or not equal?
Not equal. But there are a few good girls.
Yeah?
Yeah. In cases of soccer, obviously, as well.
Yeah. There's
high-end.
Pretty good players there, too, yeah.
What are the three, like, basic foods, like, basic food you always have at home?
Oatmeal. Always have oatmeal at home. I eat oatmeal every day. Fruit. I always have pasta at home. Always. Italian. Before game, pasta. Okay, so yes, that's three things. And vegetables. That's four things. Oatmeal, pasta, and protein powder as well. Always have protein powder too. Always protein powder.
Whey?
Whey, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What would be your dream project and with whom?
Ooh, like work-wise?
Or sport-wise, whatever.
Whoa, there's some cool ones. Probably like something... Oh, that's such a hard question because there's so many things. Like maybe with like players... For me, as a football player and now as a journalist, it's important to show, like, I feel like we, as athletes, we get a lot of the same dumb questions over and over and over and over and over and over. And, like, you're asking somebody how they felt when they missed a penalty shot or, like, why didn't you win? Like, you can't possibly answer that. Obviously, you felt like shit when you missed a penalty shot and you don't know why you didn't win unless you, like, gave up an own goal. So maybe, like, I did something with Axel Witsel and it was kind of, like, he's a number six, so his role on the field and, like, he was explaining his position and the tactics of his position and, you know, what it takes for him, how he has to be mentally and where he's moving on the field. So kind of like something where a football player or football players could show, you know, that, like, what they actually do and be, like, into the interview instead of, like, okay, can we just get out of here because I don't really care about these questions that you're asking me. And it was cool because when I talked to Axel Witsel, for example, he was like explaining and showing, you know, if he works with this player, how does he, where does he go and what, how does he think? And it's cool to get inside the mind of like a professional that lives and breathes every day this.
Yeah.
So that'd be something I like to do.
It's really that, right? Like always the same dumb questions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you get them all the time as well.
You know, the boxing world champion Regina Halmich.
I don't. But did you talk to her already?
Yeah, she was here.
Okay, and then I know her from Bjor.
Some journalist asked her if she still feels sexy although she's a professional boxer. Do you feel sexy because you're a professional football player?
Like,
isn't that so stupid?
That's like is that what you're thinking about? Like when you are going to punch someone's face in? I don't think so.
No.
Do I look sexy? Okay, let me now just box your mouth. Like, what?
Yeah.
But they asked also a woman's, the Ballon d'Or, they gave it to this girl from Norway, and they asked her, like, if she could twerk. It was the first time they ever gave it to a girl, And that's the question they asked her.
Like, and I remember that.
Like, what? Can you twerk? I don't know. Can you twerk? Like, who cares? Did they ask Ronaldo that when he wins the Ballon d'Or? No.
Can you twerk? Yeah.
Do they ask male boxers if they feel sexy when they box?
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, depending on the medium. No, but that's the thing. It's so stupid. And we, like, get in, like, a position where we try to, like, explain ourselves. And you know, so stupid. You should just say, shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
It's a dumb question.
Yeah, maybe we should answer crazier and more badass.
Yeah.
Would you ever ask Ronaldo this question? Yeah. Or whomever?
Because I guess in the moment, you get put in, like, a weird position because you're, like, you're not expecting to get asked something like that. You're like, okay, I put all this energy and time into preparing, into training, into fighting, into playing or whatever, and then you come here and ask me about my looks. What? Like,
I mean, the look doesn't really count. It's just about the stuff you do.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, obviously, look can be nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course, we care about what we look like. I care about what I look like. I like to get dressed up and do my makeup and all that kind of stuff. But then when I'm on the field and playing, I'm not thinking, okay, how's my hair?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't care. I'm thinking about playing.
Right. And winning.
And winning.
You forgot to win. Winning. Oh, you forgot to mention winning. Dania, what's your secret talent?
My secret talent?
Can you twerk?
Actually?
Actually?
Oh, secret talent?
Do you feel sexy?
Do I look sexy? With the heat, probably not so much. I don't know, maybe like baking or cooking. Maybe people don't know that. Secret talent though? I don't know. I like to try everything, so we'll see. What's your secret talent?
My secret talent? I can't tell you, otherwise I have to kill you. No way.
Don't kill
me. Do I have a secret talent? Yeah, vielleicht. Yes, maybe. Maybe I'm very emotional.
Really?
I'm a Pisces. This is my...
Oh, Pisces. When's your birthday?
February 20th.
20th.
And Pisces, they have like some...
Are you like, how's the word in English? Lunatica. Like, you like change emotions kind of? Like, or are you like steady?
No, I'm steady. But in general, like some things just get very close to me.
Yeah.
And then...
And you're, like, in tune with your emotions? Like, you can sense, like, how other people are feeling and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Pisces are good
empathetic.
Like that. Yeah?
Is it empathic?
Yeah, empathetic, yeah.
I'm very empathic. Empathetic?
Empathetic, yeah. Like, you...
Empathisch.
You can, like, feel... You understand how I'm feeling kind of thing. Like, you understand my situation and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, but that's so true. Yeah. Pisces are totally like that.
What's your thing. What's your animal?
I'm the worst ever. I'm a Capricorn. The one that they say is like cold and unemotional.
Capricorn?
Capricorn. In January. My birthday's in January.
Yeah.
So, a goat? Is it a goat?
Yeah.
Ew.
Steinbock, oder? Stier?
Stier.
Weiß ich gerade nicht.
The thing with the horns?
Yeah. Let's ask the translator.
What? I don't know what it is. And what's Pisces in German?
Fische.
Fische. Oh.
Could you like spell it and translate it, please?
Capricorn. Steinbock.
Ah, du bist ein Steinbock.
Steinbock. I didn't know that.
Now you know.
Now I know. I just learned something
new. Learn German with Julia.
Literally, could you do a new podcast, Learning German?
Come on. Do it together. You teach English and I teach German.
Language.
Language classes Language with Dania classes. And Julia.
Tune in, guys.
Yeah, very good. So, we are almost at the end now.
Okay.
Before we have the other four challenges.
Challenges? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to, you have the last words.
The last words?
Before we die. I don't want to.
Well, I think it's cool to be here and doing this podcast. I think it's cool that you do it because more people could benefit from hearing, you know, the stories of women athletes and stuff like that. And also, I want to come and box with you because I want to learn how to box. And yeah, come and see one of the fights, literally, because I've never been to a women's MMA before. So,
so you invite me to one of your games, and yeah, I invite you to one of my fights.
If we're ever allowed to have fans at anything again.
Lovely. Okay, guys, that was another nice episode with Dania Barcelona. What's your Instagram?
DBarca.
DBarca, if you want to find her. Yeah, see you next time. Stay healthy and safe, and bye-bye. Schön, dass ihr wieder dabei wart bei Women Hit Harder, dem Female Power Podcast mit mir, Julia Dorni. Und denkt dran, machen ist wie wollen, nur krasser.